tangled up here. Good afternoon. It's good to be back with you. Good to have those of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. Ethan read for us tonight in Romans chapter 1, 28 through 32. And this passage describes the dark picture of the world where God has been pushed aside. And people are given over to do what's wrong without having any kind of regret. And really, if given a choice, I think most people would not want to live with people that are doing these kind of things. And Paul certainly makes it clear that God has condemned these kind of sins, where he says that people are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderous, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, invent ways of doing evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. Here, this is certainly made clear by Paul that God is ready to bring those who practice such things to judgment, and even says that they deserve death. And when Paul does make a list, and he does that often in his letters, he makes a list to make a point. I think there's at least two objectives when he makes this list. He wants us to see that the types of behavior that people have, and showing many ways in which behavior is manifest. Now, when we read these lists, we usually see that, okay, I'm okay on that, I'm okay on that, I'm okay on that, and then something may pop up in that list that gives us a little bit of trouble. And so Paul is showing that people have different types of problems in their lives and often are filled with wickedness. But he wants us also to see that there's some connectivity between these things too, and there's similarity between these behaviors. And although these things are different, and some of them are vastly different, they all share the same result. They all share the same judgment. He says they all who do such things deserve death. And these practices and attitudes of heart that we see are ones that sometimes that we're not surprised that they make the list. But then there's other things that we see on the list that do seem kind of surprising. And there are a few here on this list that may stand out as being a little bit surprising to some. First, the first one is disobedient to parents. Now, today it seems that a lot of people have the idea that children are supposed to disobey their parents. You will hear people say things like, well, boys will be boys, kids will be kids, and they expect that, you know, children are going to behave in that way, and it's even expected. But God is serious about that submission. He expects children to do what the parents are telling them to do. And Paul says, in a world of sinners, that's part of the problem, is children being disobedient to parents. But there's other two here that I want to talk about this evening, two that are connected. Gossips and slanderers. Now, when you look at this list and you see so many ungodly things, would gossiping be included in our list? Paul puts the person who speaks evil of another person in the same list as the one who murders and the one who is involved in sexual sins. So God is serious about what we say and why. And we talked about that just briefly this morning, that when we want Christ to reign in us, part of that involves the things that we say. So I want to talk just for a few minutes, reviewing some things that we know about this sin and why it's so important to discuss it, and why Paul would have included it in this list. So, first of all, as we said, that we are in a world of sinners, and this is one of those sins that's serious. When we are gossiping, we need to realize that we're talking like the devil. That's what the word slanderer means. The word in Romans that's translated backbiter is also a very akin to the word slanderer, and the same word that's used to identify Satan himself. The word Diablos is often rendered devil, but his name also is slanderer. And that's his name, and that's what he does. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, Diablos, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" This word accuser is the same word that we see used in Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 when it talks about slanderer. Same word. According to the Webster Dictionary, to slander means malicious talk, to spread damaging information, to defame, to speak ill of. And slander, as is defined in the Bible, is the work of the devil. And those who slander are also on his team. Gossip, the word gossip is derived from the idea of whispering. According also to Webster, gossip means to indulge in idle talk or rumors about others, spreading of sensational stories. Another dictionary defines it as idle or malicious talk about others. And we generally think of gossip as something maybe that's not so bad, or we tend to treat it that way, that it maybe is just discourteous, but the Bible treats it as a close cousin to this word slander. And Vine's dictionary says the backbiter is one who does his talking openly, but the gossip is one who does it clandestinely, and is also called the whisperer. The Old Testament used the word talebearer to describe this type of person who speaks evil of others. And the word talebearer is never used in a good way, as is not surprising. It's always condemned. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." So God here presents the talebearer, the gossip, as one who does not care about the life of his neighbor. He uses his tongue as a weapon against his neighbor. Gossip is a sign of foolishness, and it indicates that the one who does such things is not to be trusted. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue and those that misuse it. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 and 13 says that the man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays confidence. A gossip is one who betrays confidence, as Proverbs goes on to say here, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. If somebody comes to you to talk to you about somebody else, you can be sure, probably pretty definitely, that they may go away and talk about you as well. You know, have you ever thought about that? If they come and talk to you about somebody else, do they ever go away and talk about you to somebody else? In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, it says that the wise man needs counsel before making a decision, such as going to war. But in the next verse, he warns about the talebearer, or the gossiper, who is one who readily reveals secret. And the word talebearer in the Hebrew means a trafficker, one who goes about offering his wares of scandal and revealing secrets to the prejudice of others. He flatters with his lips to elicit from you what he may afterward repeat to others. Though there is no need of counsel, yet it is not safe to ask it from everyone and to tell secrets to everyone. This is from a commentary on the book of Proverbs, talking about the word talebearer. Another thing that's closely akin to gossip is the way that we hear. You know, if gossip didn't have anybody to talk to, if there'd be nobody that would be ready to listen, then they wouldn't have a lot to say. But But you know what? There's always going to be somebody that's ready to listen, isn't there? There's always going to be somebody that's ready to hear something that's scandalous. Have you ever fed a dog the leftovers? Have you ever had a dog turn down the leftovers? I mean, the food has to be pretty bad for the dogs to turn down the leftovers. I remember when one year that my parents went down to Florida College Lectures, and a woman from Dothan stayed with us during that week, and she made us biscuits and forgot to put baking powder in them, and they were just flat as a pancake and hard as a rock. And of course, she laughed about it, and none of us would eat them. We tried to feed them to the dog, and the dog would, they were very bad. But most of the time, a dog is going to eat whatever you put in front of it without any kind of discernment. Doesn't matter how old it is or how long it's been in the refrigerator or if it's going to make them sick. They'll eat it all and pay the consequences later. And that's the situation that we have with gossip. The proverb writer gives us an interesting picture of the other side of gossip. Proverbs 18, verse 8, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." The words of a talebearer are as wounds, it says in the King James Version. Certainly the words do wound others. But I like this translation that says they're like tasty trifles. The words of a gossip are juicy, we sometimes say, or choice morsels. What does that mean? It means that they're easily swallowed by others. The Complete Word Study Dictionary says it this way. It says the word here is a verb meaning to swallow greedily. As a passive noun, it means something gulped. It is used to describe gossip as something that most people will swallow whole and be permeated by it. And what is our responsibility when we are on the receiving side of gossip? You know, those of us that are old enough to remember Hee Haw remember the song about gossip, that we don't go around spreading gossip, so you better be sure and listen close the first time. Well, there's always people there willing to be the one that listens. But you know, if everybody was doing what they should, the person wouldn't be gossiping in the first place, and the person wouldn't be standing at the fence ready to hear it. There would be no song. There is a responsibility for us to turn a deaf ear to the words of the gossip. But isn't that hard to do? I find that very hard to do when somebody is going to tell you something that's interesting, something that's scandalous, something that is about somebody else. And sometimes you don't know where somebody's going with the information they're about to give you. But they give you just enough taste of it that you know that you want to hear the rest. That it sounds like it's going to be good. It sounds like it's going to be information that you'd like to hear. Whether or not you need to hear it is a different story. Whether or not you need to open up your ears to it is a different story. We need to be able to close our ears. Sometimes gossip is masquerading as concern. And gossip is one of those dangerous things because it's very subtle. And sometimes we're unable to recognize it. And especially when gossip masquerades as being concerned for somebody else. Rumors or gossip will seem more palatable if they hide behind a pretentious attitude of, "I'm so concerned about Randy, and here is why." That sounds really good, doesn't it? "I hate to say anything to you about this, but I'm concerned about them. I don't know who else to turn to tell this." And sometimes it will seem like the gospel is seeking you out to be their confidant, to pour out their heavy heart about their concerns. "I'm so troubled, and I need you to hear this." But in reality, is the gossip really sincerely concerned about solving the problem, or are they only interested in talking about it? Or stirring up trouble? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says that the perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. This is talking about the person that just wants to talk but doesn't want to solve anything. A person that is genuinely concerned about solving a problem will follow Jesus' counsel in Matthew chapter 18. When Jesus tells us when there's a problem that we privately confront the person at the source as the first response. So we need to go to that person. We don't need to say, well, do you think that I need to go talk to him about this? Here's what he did. Do you think I ought to go talk to him? Well, of course you should. That's exactly what Jesus told you to do. In fact, you should have done that before you talked to anybody else. Then you may not have had to tell anybody else. If he doesn't hear you, then you take one or two witnesses. If that doesn't work, then you take the matter to the church. But people will get that all mixed up. They'll go and do things out of order. They'll talk to everybody else before they talk to the person that they need to talk to. All masquerading as concern. And we end up stirring up a lot of trouble when we don't do it the way that Jesus told us to. There are times when people need to talk together. And there are times that when people get together to discuss an issue. They do that to try to solve a problem. But this is an area that sometimes it's not easy always to define what's gossip when you're very concerned about a situation. But we always should have the desire to solve the problem instead of just talking about it. And I think if we will think about that, am I really wanting to solve this problem? Am I doing what I can to solve it, or am I just wanting to talk about it and stir up strife or make myself feel better by tearing somebody else down? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus gives us a stern warning about our words. But I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And that's a very sobering thought. We think about all these things that Paul talks about as far as immorality and those that are committing murder and those that are breaking the laws of the land. And we pat ourselves on the back and be puffed up with pride that I'm not doing those things. Or if I did those things, I'm not doing them anymore. But we're loose with our tongues and loose with our lips. And Jesus said, you're going to be judged for the words that you say. Now, you might not go to jail. You may not be unpopular. In fact, you may be very popular because people like to talk to you because you like to talk. You may be liked by everybody because your mouth is entertaining. But Jesus says, by our words we will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. Idle talk would include that which is barren, that which is worthless, that which is flippant, that which is irresponsible, according to one commentary. This means that our words are designed to mean something. They are to be spoken with purpose, not just for the pleasure of hearing ourselves talk. And gossip is primarily wrong because it's communication that has the wrong purpose. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the church here has been obligated to financially support certain widows who have gained a godly reputation among the other people that they're around. But Paul tells them also to refuse some younger widows because they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle but gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not. So there's some condemnation there for those that involve themselves in those kind of things. Idle people tend to engage themselves in idle talk. You know, a few years ago there was a commercial for Nextel where people communicated with each other in short, concise statements and just few words to get things done. You know, a lot of people that are using Twitter now, I don't remember how many characters it is, like 120 or something. I've tried to do Twitter sometimes. I just can't be concise enough to say what I want to say. And Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, we have so many words. We have so much idle talk. these idle widows, Paul says, would spend their time wandering about from house to house, creating a situation where they would become involved in other people's business. It makes me think about Mrs. Kravitz on Bewitched. Hollering for Abner. Come look out the window. She was a busybody. She was idle. She obviously didn't have enough to do. No kids in that house to keep her busy, so she had to look out the window. Paul uses the term busybodies in Romans. The Complete Word Study Dictionary says that the word is used of people who scurry about and are fussing over things, meddling in other people's affairs, being overwrought with unnecessary care. And also notice what Paul said to Timothy, that the busybody gets that way by being idle. Gossip may indicate laziness because it certainly is easy to talk about others. And it takes work to get your mind occupied with other things. Vine says there are some who are not busied in their own business, but are over-busied in that of others. Again, is this something that's serious? Is it something that's just out on the peripheral and we can think about it when we have time? Well, again, I want you to consider another list. This time it's from Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Peter says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's affairs. Yeah, we're okay when he's talking about murderers, thieves, and evildoers until he gets down to stepping on toes, talking about busybodies and other people's matters. He says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Don't do these things. Don't suffer as one doing these things. If you do these things, you deserve to suffer. If you suffer, let it be for the glory of God, because you're doing what's right. And that kind of persecution, and you'll be glorified for that, but you won't be glorified for partaking in these other things. In the conclusion of this lesson, I'd just like to propose a short list of some facts about gossip that we ought to think about. In our class on 1 Timothy and Titus, as we've gone through qualifications for elders and deacons, and we'll continue to do that. Gossip and slander on the part of the spiritual leader as far as elder and deacon, and on the part of the wife of that person is something that's condemned. That we have to have control of our tongue. Gossip and slander always disqualifies people from spiritual leadership. I know of one situation where a man was very qualified to be an elder, and in fact was an elder. But his wife really had difficulty with her tongue. And as an elder, he would have what we might call privileged information. He would have information about members, and he found out after a period of time that there were certain things that he wasn't going to be able to share with his wife about what the elders were discussing, because she could not rein in her tongue. His reputation was being hurt by her inability to not gossip. Gossip is something that always contributes to problems and not solutions. It destroys friendships. It cripples churches. I'm sure that we've all known situations that we have said something that we wish that we hadn't said. We wish we could go back and unsay something that we said, and we can't. The damage is done. We can apologize. But sometimes there are hurtful things that leave a scar. Gossip is something that usually distorts and exaggerates and is not a reliable source of truth. And we've seen that those who gossip and slander are not in the right relationship with God. So what do we do about it? Well, we do what we do as we would with any other sin. We repent of it. We confess it to God. We confess it as a sin and ask that Christ forgives us. And we change. We start keeping our nose out of other people's business. And we follow the advice that our parents gave us, especially our mom. If we can't say something good or encouraging, then don't say anything at all. We had that talk with some of our kids at camp this past week, trying to encourage the older kids to help the younger ones. And in particular, we had a talk with our boys before the talent show, because, you know, there's a talent show, but it's not all talent. And we wanted them to, you know, realize that it takes guts to get up and do some of the things that these little kids are doing, and you just cheer as loud as you can for them and make them, you know, feel good. And don't make fun of them. And don't, you know, if you can't do something nice, then don't do something. Be respectful and pay attention and clap for them. Gossip isn't that way. Gossip is something that's hurtful and it's not encouraging, and we often need to keep our mouths shut. If we're going to criticize another person, really we should be talking to them. We talk about constructive criticism, and I know that we usually don't like to be criticized, but sometimes we need it, and we don't always like the way the criticism is given, but sometimes it's something that we need to hear. But when we are on the giving side of that criticism, it needs to be done to the face of the person that we need to be talking to and not someone else. Criticism isn't constructive if it's not being expressed to the right person, is it? How is it constructive if it's not being said to the person that needs to hear it? And this one's a hard one, but if our so-called friends start bad-mouthing somebody else to us, instead of opening our ears as wide as we can, we need to stop them in their tracks. And I don't need to hear that, and refuse to be a partaker of their sin. Maybe help them realize that you ought to be thinking about the things that you're saying about others. And finally, we need to avoid association with people who are gossips. And that's hard when we have a desire to hear these types of things. But I hope what you realize in the short time that we've talked about this is that we need to take it as seriously as God does. And I don't think that we do. We take a lot of these things that are in these lists very seriously. You know, being evildoers and murderers and thieves and covetous and involved in immorality. But in these lists, we see gossip and slander. The psalmist says in Psalm 31, verse 1, I will watch my ways and I will keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. Let's take our words, things that we say, as seriously as God does, because He says it will be judged for every word that comes out of our mouth. Hope these things will be useful to you. If tonight you're desirous of confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and being buried in baptism, rising to walk a new life, if you started that life and haven't been faithful, need the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing. Have you been to Jesus?